Hello, everyone. Welcome to Binge and Banter. My name is Angela.
And this is Emily, and we're going to be talking about Golden Bachelorette episode 4 today.
And today's episode is actually super special because we are in person, live, well, not live, but in the flesh. We're sitting right next to each other in my childhood bedroom, and Emily set up her mic and her computer, and we're just going to see how it goes, you know? We're having to, like, hover over one mic because we don't have all the technology yet. So bear with us if it sounds crazy, but honestly, it should sound fine.
Yeah, I think so. And like we said in our last episode, we are trying something a little bit different. So what we have for today is a special episode where we recorded a few clips from the episode. We'll play them and then we'll talk about them.
Sounds good.
Okay, so our first clip is our montage to Charles L.
Yes, this is essentially our love letter to Charles L. I've said this about so many guys gone too soon, but this one really, like, it doesn't matter if he made it to the final two, it would have been gone too soon because I love this man. He is a national treasure.
I need to see more of him on the screen. Like, can he please just be the next Golden Bachelor?
Roll the tapes.
Yes!
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 Yes.
Back!
Yeah.
Come back!
Grab him!
Over here.
Attack!
Attack!
Slowly. I stole it from the profession. I don't have much muscle, so I look a little awkward.
Do I look this bad?
Yeah.
This better. Look at me, I'm young, energetic, and handsome.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you, and
okay.
You've changed my life. I love you.
You too. I came in, arrived at the mansion with sadness. Missed my wife. After several weeks here at the mansion, it really helped me, you know, pulled myself out from the hardship that I experienced. I think I have achieved way more than I expected. The remaining friends, we bound together. We opened our hearts, you know, everybody, you know, helped each other. They are all gorgeous people. And some good friends. Yeah.
Mark!
It's a successful journey for me. Having night with my friends.
Yeah, it's gonna meet again. I love your brother.
It's a different form of life. Yeah, I did find it.
I mean, what else is there even to say about how great Charles L. is? It's like Jen said, she said he changed his life. But I have one question. Was he teaching them Tai Chi at the beginning of that clip?
Yeah, some sort of like karate or something.
See, he's a man of all trades. But then we had him at the striptease show with Caitlin Bristow. First of all, probably my favorite part of the episode besides, like, the heavier parts, but my favorite, like, funny part of the episode because the way that all the guys got into it and fully embraced it. Keith was living his best life. Oh, let's not forget about that. And he said that he wanted to be a Chippendales dancer in his early 20s, so he was living his dream.
Literally living his dream. And can we just say that, like, Keith did really good. And Jonathan.
Jonathan did great. Jonathan looked like a 25-year-old man up there when he was doing everything.
The rest of them are a little rusty and their hips don't move quite as smooth. But Jonathan's up there like a freaking pro.
And he has this whole story of he was shy and he didn't get to go to prom. And he's so, like, I don't know, so gentle and meek, and then he comes out there and does that, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, where did this come from? But back to Charles L. and his lack of muscle.
And his body rolls.
His body rolls are amazing.
I love everything about Charles L., and I'm so glad that he was on this date, because anytime he's involved in a date, like, everything is so lighthearted. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Like, anything that he says, I literally laugh at.
Me too. And he always kind of, like, brings it back around to something more meaningful. Like, he's like, oh, I didn't want to put myself out there, but I did, and I'm so proud of myself, or things like that, where he just is like, he's really grasping the overall greater meaning of everything that he's doing on the show right now. And I love that for him, because it's like he has said, it kind of changed his life. He found a new kind of love. And when Mark came out there to hug him, and he's like so excited, Mark.
Yeah. All right. We didn't get to see a lot of Charles L. this episode. We saw him on that group date, but like we didn't see him, you know, that night or at the cocktail party before the rose ceremony. Like, we didn't see a lot of him this episode, so I had a feeling that he would be going home, and I definitely had that feeling when I saw that there was only 6 roses being handed out. I was like, okay, it might be time for Charles L. to go. But then we see him, like, this ending could not have been more perfect, of like all the guys coming out there, and oh, I almost cried just at that.
And on like a more serious note too, it's like when Dan was leaving and he said, I live by myself and I got a chance to live with some really great guys, and he was basically sobbing, I almost cried. And Charles said that, you know, he didn't find love with Joan, but he found a different kind of love. And I think a lot about, like, they talk about loneliness and elderly people. And I mean, I wouldn't call these people like elderly yet, you know, they're kind of just golden. They're just now starting their golden years. But when you're divorced or you're widowed and you live by yourself as an older, like a senior citizen, I could see how it would get really lonely, because, you know, your friends are tired, busy. You know, obviously some of them have passed, which is just an unfortunate reality that's sad. But, and then you go on this show and you get to be with like a dozen other guys in a house, like you're in college again. And I feel like that alone, and the bonding that took place and the fun and the laughs that took place, was life changing for Dan and Charles L.
Yeah, like what an experience that you get to do when you're getting to an older age. And like you said, when Dan said that he lived alone, that just like, it hurt my heart, because I was like, oh my gosh, he probably doesn't get to hang out with a group of guys ever. Like, you might hang out with one or two of your friends every now and then, but to live alone and then get to live in a literal mansion in California, going on crazy dates, having fun, like getting to do all of these things, like, it's so much fun. And you get to meet these different people from all over. And I'm just like, it makes me happy knowing, I hate when they have to take someone off, but it makes me happy knowing that they're all going to be best friends after this.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope that they like stay in touch and make posts on social media so that we can all see it selfishly. But
they all need to like move into a nursing home together.
Yes, start making videos.
Yes, create their own nursing home, the Mansion Men.
We are the Mansion Men, the Golden Season Mansion Men. Okay, I'm sorry.
I was gonna say that needs to be the name of the nursing home. Mansion Men Nursing Home, coming to you.
That, or they should start a podcast called Mansion Men.
Oh, yes.
Just come talk to us, ABC. We have the great ideas.
We have all the good ideas. No, I think that would be perfect. I really hope that they stay connected, like how kind of like the Golden Bachelor girls all stay connected, and they had like the Askin group, and they go on trips together. Now they have podcasts together. Like, I hope the men take advantage of this experience more outside of being in the mansion.
Yeah, I really do too. You know how boys are about keeping up with each other. They're not as good at it as girls usually, but I super hope that they're like that. And with Charles L. like losing his wife, it seemed like this was all just like a big full circle moment for him. Like, his daughters have been wanting him to not move on. That's like too harsh of a term to use, but almost like try to be happy again. Not really move on, but try to be happy again.
Yeah, and we saw in the episode too that Mark gets to talk to Kelsey and Joey on the phone, and he tells them that it's like therapy being in the mansion. He's like, it's unreal. It's exactly what I needed. He's like, it's like therapy. And I feel like a lot of those guys feel that way, Charles L. included, saying like he's grown so much from this experience, and he's been able to, you know, overcome some of the, like, not guilt, but what's the word? Grief. So the grief in his life, he's been able to overcome a little bit of it and kind of see the joy in life again.
Yes. And Also, I just have to point out how fascinating it is that we have a contestant on this show who says that the mansion is like therapy, when so many other contestants from the regular show have described it as literal psychological torture.
A literal torture chamber.
Yes. But, you know, I'm glad that they're doing a little bit better by the older people, because they deserve it. They already have to sleep on bunk beds with people with sleep apnea and prostate problems that have to get up 8 times a night to pee. So,
but if that's the worst of it, then I think we're doing pretty good.
Yes. Okay. So, do you have anything else to say about Charles L?
Charles L for Bachelor.
Charles L for Bachelor. I support it. I would probably cry the whole time, but that's okay.
Like, can you just imagine what that season would be like? He, like, Charles is falling in love. You know? Charles is opening up his heart again.
Charles' wife is here. And that
Charles do propose to you.
But the only thing that, like, would make me really sad is, like, you saw how hard of a time Joan has with these decisions. Charles, if he had to send people home and, like, hurt them, would have a mental breakdown.
He literally couldn't. He'd have to marry, like, all 30 girls. Like, there's no way that Charles can send someone home. He's too nice.
Charles take 30 wives.
Charles have 30 wives now. I think that that would be such an entertaining season. And I know he's not, like, our typical bachelor. And I think that's why it would be so good. Like, let's please just switch it up and give us somebody like that that's just played out entertaining and we're already rooting for. And he already has America's heart. Like, who wouldn't tune into that season?
I just felt like we got to watch him become himself on this season. Like, by the end of it with the striptease date, like, that was so, I don't know. You saw it with a lot of the guys. Like, they were insecure. They were, like, they knew that they didn't have the muscles. You know, not all of them could be a Pascal or a Jonathan.
With the abs that they have left at this age.
Yes. But, I don't know. I just thought he's such a good example of recognizing your insecurities, but choosing to have fun anyway. And, yeah, that's all I have to say about Charles L. He's amazing, and I hope we see so much more of him.
I do, too. And that's what's, like, amazing about this show is, yes, we're watching Joan fall in love. Yes, we're watching these guys fall in love. But there's so much more to it than that. And we watch Charles L. grow, and we watch him transform and get more confident, and we saw his personality. And that, to me, is what makes the show. Like, yes, it's about love. Yes, it's about Joan's journey. But it's just as much about these men and the stage of life that they're in and overcoming everything that they are overcoming. And I don't know, altogether, like, this episode to me was almost perfect.
I agree. So should we get into the chalk of it all?
Yes. Okay. Can we just say that, like, chalk was 99% of this episode?
He was. And we did a title episode 2, Chalk O'Clock. We should have titled this episode Chalk O'Clock, because this is actually Chalk O'Clock. Or maybe we should call this one Chalk 30 or something. Yeah,
Chalk 2.0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we really didn't have that much to say about, like, the one-on-one dates, and maybe we can talk about those a little bit later. But our main takeaway from this episode was the chalk of it all. So we have a few clips here from Chalk throughout this episode that kind of sum up Chalk for us. And we're going to play those now.
Joan came into the group. You know, and I say it was emotional. It was heartfelt. She talked about her mother's health. Her mother's 92 years old and has had a little setback. And she's got emotions, and she's just got a lot of pressure on her. Well, this organization, Stand Up to Cancer, is so important to me, because I mentioned to you the other night with my mother, and that's what I'm struggling with right now.
Yeah.
Is today was a reminder of it, and I'm going to be able to talk to her tomorrow, so. My mother's been very ill, stage 4, and my mother passed this morning. Tell me what happened.
She was just in extreme pain yesterday.
Yeah.
And from then on, her breathing just got more shallow. And she passed with George by her side at 4:45 this morning.
My mother was a great one. She was a great mother. She was a great wife. She loved her husband to death. I honestly couldn't have asked for a better mother. I'll come out there and I'll start taking care of stuff. Just let me know what I need to do. We know it was coming. but it never makes it any easier and does not. And then from the high last night of getting the rooms and really connecting with Joan, I felt it was just off the charts. I mean, I was so happy. That's not going to happen now. Joan was one of the best nights of my life. You said some things to me and just meant the world to me. And stand against cancer just meant so much. This morning, one of the producers came and got me and said, yeah, my mother passed away this morning.
God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. What can I do for you?
I appreciate that. I need some help.
What do you need?
Okay, so...
Whatever you need.
So I do think I need to go there and check on her husband, Dan George, and then also check on Crystal. And I knew you would support me on that. If I said I wasn't going to do it, I knew you would pull me aside and go, you go do it. Joan.
Oh, my God.
How are you?
You're back.
Yes, I am.
I am so excited to see you. Oh, God, you made me. Oh, I can see Jeannie writing you so much. I can't believe
you're back. Okay, that was tough. Tough to, like, watch it the first time, but then also tough to listen to it again. Like, I'm a loss of words for what Chalk had to go through this experience. Losing your mom while you're on the show, like, I can't even fathom that.
Yeah, and it's something that I didn't catch the first time that you caught when we were getting these clips was him saying to Joan, I get to talk to her, his mom, tomorrow. And then the next day, before he got to talk to her, obviously, she passes away. And that was, that just broke my heart. I don't know how it wouldn't break anybody's heart. And I think the way that Joan handled it and, like, the empathy that was exuding from her was very beautiful. And, you know, they left us on a cliffhanger. They don't know if he's going to come back. But then he does. And the elation in her voice, I'm like, she already loves this man. She's already head over heels for this man. How excited she was just to see him come back.
Well, I think she's feeling a lot of emotions, too, because... her mom is also older, and she was also sick recently. So I think that she can empathize with him a lot more because she's going through something somewhat similar, like, to him. So you can see it in her face. Like, when he says, the producers came and got me this morning, she makes this face like, please tell me it's not that. And he just goes, yeah. She passed away this morning, and you can see, like, the hurt that she's feeling for him. And I think part of that is because she really cares for Chalk. And I didn't think that she did, like, before this episode. I didn't think that, like, Chalk was the one, but after this, I'm like, maybe he is, because of how much emotion went into this episode. And when he comes back, she's like a little kid. Like, she is so excited to see him. Like, you can hear it in her voice. Like, take the video out of it and just listen to her voice, and you can genuinely hear how excited she is that he came back.
Yes. I like how you said she sounded like a kid. That was so true. And you just feel, like, this crazy connection with them. There's something there that is not really... it's not easy to put into words. It's just really, really strong and really powerful, whatever it is between them. And... he has, like, this very caring energy for her. Like, when he came and told her, and he was like, I know that you would tell me to go and handle things. And so they already had, like, that trust between each other, knowing that she was going to be there for him through this regardless, no matter what happened. And I thought it was beautiful that he got to memorialize his mom in the show. He was talking about how she was, like, the best mom ever. She loved her husband, and she loved them, and... how she was just a really good example of how to be a mom and a wife. And the fact that this episode was partially, I don't think sponsored by, but I think they were donating to Stand Up to Cancer, and his mom had stage 4 cancer. It was beautiful that it was really beautiful that they got to showcase a cancer organization and put some love and some attention onto that, while obviously his mom was dealing with something so horrific as stage 4 cancer.
Yeah, and it did, like you said, it did kind of come to this head where, like, it was the episode that was dedicated to Stand Up for Cancer. And then you have him talking about his mom the night before, and then this happens the next day, and he's really able to, like, share her memory. And I think that's something that, like, he's going to hold on for the rest of his life, is, like, you got to share her memory with the rest of the world. Like, anybody that's watching this now knows exactly who Chalk's mom is, exactly how he felt about her, and he's going to have, like, that piece of her forever.
Chalk, also, on a much lighter note, did really well on the Chip and Dale group date as well.
Yeah, he was one that was nervous about it, and he kind of said, okay, I'm not nervous anymore that it's for Stand Up for Cancer, and he showed out.
No, he definitely did. And honestly, Chalk, if I'm having to pick amongst these old men, Chalk has it going on, even though he looks like George W. Bush a little bit.
He really does. He looks just like him. But no, I think that Chalk, see, it's hard for me to say. Either he does win the season and they do get engaged, or I don't know, or they're, like, misleading us right now.
Yeah, maybe they are, but at the same time, I feel like maybe they're trying to lean into their love story super hard. It's just really hard to imagine her. I mean, it was the way she said that she was so excited for him to come back, and it was the way her voice sounded when she said that was like, oh my god, she's already probably feeling feelings of being in love with this man. So I don't know, but there was something going on. You know, there's something with Mark, there's something with Pascal, so you never really know. Personally, I do hope Pascal, I hope Chalk makes it far too, but Pascal, I love him. I hope he makes it far. I think that they actually, like, have a super fun connection, and it's kind of like one of those things where she was saying earlier in the season, I'm not looking for someone to build a life and have children with now, so what I'm looking for now is going to be different than what I was looking for back then, and maybe somebody who's fun and dandy like Pascal would be right up her alley and exactly what she needs for, like, the later stages in life where she just wants to have fun.
Yeah, that's true. But at this point, like, I just don't see why they would bring Chalk back if he is not the winner. Like, I feel like that's almost kind of cruel to be like, I mean, he came back, what, within a week? Because it was that rose ceremony, and I don't know where Chalk's from, but he came back super quick. And I feel like the only reason that you even come back at all in that situation is if Joan is like, no, he has to come back or this season will not go well.
Yeah, I agree. I can't imagine what would have happened if he didn't come back.
Yeah, that would have been really interesting. And when he went home, like, there was no mention of him coming back. So I thought he legit just went home, and I was like, wow, I misread that whole situation. He really isn't a front runner if she's just letting him leave so easily. But again, I know she has to let him leave, but the fact that she then went on a date the same day with Jordan and was like, I got to put my mind aside from Chalk leaving. Like, I was like, okay, maybe he's not her person. But then when he came back, I was like, oh, if they knew this whole time that he would try to come back, then maybe that's why she was able to cope with it better than what I thought she would.
That makes sense. Do you have anything else to say about Chalk? I think we covered a lot, and I think that a lot of it was just in, like, the emotion of it all, so there's not really a lot to say.
Yeah, for sure. No, nothing else about Chalk. Any other little fun, big moments from this episode?
Yeah, when they were asking Pascal, was that your shirt that you ripped? And then somebody was like, Prana doesn't rip like that.
I thought that was hilarious. He goes, no, I would never rip one of my shirts.
And then I guess the one-on-ones were pretty sweet. Her and Jordan went ice skating. Jordan busted it.
And she was cracking up. Like, she couldn't stop herself from laughing at him falling. And he is saying the whole time, like, I hope that we're not going ice skating. I hope that's the one thing we're not doing. And of course, it's what they're doing.
What did her and Guy do?
Her and Guy cooked.
That's right. Okay, that's the kind of day I would want if I went on the show. Just let me cook and relax. And, you know, I kind of saw a little bit of a spark between her and Guy.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think those kind of dates are kind of special because it shows you what it's going to be like outside of this bachelor world.
But can we talk about too how Jordan's ex-wife cheated on him and that's why they got divorced?
Yeah. There's a lot of divorced men on this season.
There is a lot of divorced men, and it's like how we were talking about last episode. Is that going to be a factor? Because she's watching a spouse die is so much different than like divorcing a spouse, like through you both choose to do that, you know? But letting someone go against your will because they got sick and passed away is so different. And I personally, like, that's one of the reasons I so see it with her and Chalk is, like, they have such a similar experience and they grieve so similarly because they were bonding over, like, the guilt that they feel of not being, you know, not did I do enough or was I there? And also, can we talk about how Joan feels so guilty for not being in the same room as her husband when he passed, which I'm like, I totally get that. And that's valid for anyone to feel. It just breaks my heart that she feels that way because it's not like, you know, she abandoned him. Yeah. She was right there, you know?
Yeah, you can't be with him literally 24/7. And it is, like, unfortunate that it happened in that way, but you can't beat yourself up too much about it because you can't be with him 24/7. I guess that's what she was trying to get across to Chalk in that conversation, too, was, like, don't beat yourself up about not being there. Like, I wasn't there as well, and I know how that feels.
Right. Ugh. I think she's processing through so much grief in this season. That's like one of the main themes of this season because you see her even say in previews for future episodes that she doesn't know if she's ready or that she doesn't know if she's not doing right by John, her deceased husband. That hurts to hear because she does deserve to move on and to be happy, and that's probably what her husband would have wanted and everything. But It has to feel a little bit like you're dishonoring them. I think that's the word she used, dishonor, because they didn't leave by choice. You didn't let them go by choice. It was ripped away from you, and you still feel a sense of loyalty to that person and a duty to uphold their memory.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been thinking about it a lot ever since the last episode, but one of the things, you know, she said that she's always going to have John in her life. Well, I thought about it, and, like, the divorce guys are always going to have that wife in their life. A lot of them have children with her. So, you know, it's just in a different way. Like, she's still on the earth, so you're not grieving that person, but that person's still going to be just as much a part of your life, you know? Like, still difficult.
Yeah, 100%. So, was there anything else that stood out to you? Anything funny that we talked about or noticed?
No, I think the last thing was just, like, them leaving the mansion. I just love this season that they keep bringing the men out to, like, greet them at the end. And we just see this, like, huge brotherly connection between all of them. I was wrong. Dan does not win this season. I thought he was a sleeper. I thought that he was going to get a one-on-one and that he was going to win. But I was wrong.
Hey, I was kind of with you, like, for a split second, but he's so sweet. And I know we already talked about him being, like, living alone and all that. But them bringing the men out in general is, I wish they would do that on every season because that's awesome. That they bring the men out to, like, say goodbye because it sucks. You just have to, like, you don't get a rose and you just have to dash out of there. And I'm just loving the examples of, like, adult male friendship on this season because you don't see that with the younger guys. I mean, yeah. A lot of them do become friends, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them also hate each other, and same with the girls, because they're, like, in competition with each other, and they don't have enough years in their life to, like, really have an appreciation or to, like, know what's important.
Yeah, yeah. Take notes from The Golden Bachelor, because I would love to see that in the regular Bachelor and Bachelorette, is, like, I always want to see the connections in the house, just as much as I want to see the love story happening, like, I cannot talk about that enough, but that is why, like, these seasons are so good, is because we get to see everybody's personality, and we're hurting every single time someone gets sent home. Like, we want all of these men to be happy, and I wish that it was the same way with the younger guys. Like, there's no reason that we shouldn't be rooting for all of them.
Yeah, I agree, but this episode was perfect. a lot of emotions, a lot of laughs. I hope that they stay on this track. I'm so excited to see who's going to go to hometowns. And
oh,
we have to talk about
that promo.
Oh, wow. Her and Pascal together went at the very end when the camera is following them and Pascal is like, no, she's hurting. She's not okay. Leave her alone. Please just leave her alone for now. I was like obsessed with like the protective energy that he was giving her.
Yeah, it seems like this season has been so not chaotic yet. And I feel like we're about to get some chaos with that promo.
I hope that all that was next week so that it just like we get to see it right away.
Oh, yeah. If it's not next week, I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
I feel like it will be next week. And we're going to see, I don't know, they haven't traveled yet. And it looked like they start to travel.
Yeah, because it looked like they were in a hotel room.
I was kind of wondering if they were in Thailand, if you saw like the big mountains, like the mountain islands in the background. I hope they are.
That would be awesome because you went to Thailand on your honeymoon. So
yes, I did go to Thailand on my honeymoon, and when I was there, this is so bad, but I was Zach Shallcross's season also was in Thailand, and I was like looking up the places that they had gone, and unfortunately like we went to a totally different part of Thailand than them, but where Joan and them are, if it is Thailand, and it doesn't necessarily have to be, but if it is, then I think it's some of the similar places that we went.
Ooh, that would be so fun to see on there and like remember like where you were or what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. I'm excited for these next episodes.
But so the next time we'll be back will be for a recap of episode 5 of Survivor. That's heating up right now, so please tune into those. We give full recaps of those. We give spicy takes. We let you know what we would have done in the game, what we think they should have done differently. And we just get really analytical with it. And also, we make fun of them a little bit, too, because there's some characters on this season.
Some characters. And I will say, too, I've had a lot of people ask me where they can watch Survivor if they don't have network TV. And if you have a network TV login, aka your parents or grandparents have a login, then you can watch it on the CBS app and you can watch it live. You can watch it the day after on there. But unfortunately, it's not like the Golden Bachelorette where it's a little bit easier to access and you can just get it on Hulu the next day. So you do have to do a little bit more work to watch Survivor if you don't have network TV.
So you can't get Survivor on any of those?
No.
Apps? Oh.
No. It's only on CBS app. So I know we've had some listeners that are like, I love listening, but I have no idea what's going on because I haven't been able to watch the episodes. So find a cable login and watch it on CBS.
That's right. Okay, so be ready for that episode most likely on Thursday. And did you have anything else to add?
No, that's it. Follow us on Instagram. Keep listening wherever you get your podcasts and keep sharing the good word.
That's right. So this has been Binge and Banter. I am Angela.
And I am Emily. And we will see you next time.
Bye.